Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
What a cast of characters we have today on Kingdom Pursuits. It's amazing to me. Every week, God brings people that just kind of blow me away on how God has given them a passion and using it to build the kingdom. First off, we have my good friend and one of the stars of Christian Car Guy Theater, as well as a regular here, Julie Knox with OM Ships. Welcome, Julie, from England this morning.
Hello, Robbie. How are you doing? It's lovely to be back on your show again.
It's lovely to have you on Mother's Day weekend.
Not in England.
It's really?
Yeah, we have it in March over here.
I did not know that. See, the things I learned by listening to my own show. So Mother's Day isn't an international. I never thought about it. It's different in England. Is it different? Aren't you from Ireland?
I'm from Northern Ireland. So, yes, part of the UK. And, we have it in mid to late March. Yes.
So Ireland does it the same as England, as I suppose the whole UK does. All right.
I think so. Or maybe other parts of Europe, too. Yeah.
But for those who hadn't heard Julie before, you're with OM Ships, and tell our listeners a little bit about what that is.
Sure. We are a Christian ministry that's been going, actually, it's part of Operation Mobilization, which has been operating for about 60 years now, 62, I believe. And out of that was born a ship ministry in the 70s. And we are actually the world's largest floating book fair, a Christian vessel that takes literature to far-flung parts of the world. And the ship that we have, we've operated four over these decades now, but the current ship we have is staffed entirely by volunteers, by Christian, mainly young people who take a year or two out of their life. And many of them actually get so encouraged by what they do, or they learn such a lot, or God really gives them a real sense of mission in their hearts, and they may stay on or get involved in our organization elsewhere. So it's kind of often longer than a two-year commitment. But they come from all over the world. I think the last count we had approaching 70 different nationalities of Christians serving on board our ship from all over the world, from all walks of life and cultural backgrounds, but with one unified common purpose, which is to serve the Lord, to make him known wherever they go. And so not only is our ship a tourist attraction in each of the ports that we arrive in, and a great opportunity for people to get good access to quality literature at cheaper prices, but also our people go out into communities. They minister to people at their point of need. We have a sort of overarching slogan of sharing knowledge, help, and hope.
Yeah, that is awesome. And they set a big record that we're going to get to here in a few minutes. But next up, we have CJ, which is actually Charles Wallace. And CJ is gone to Piedmont Bible College. Is that the name of the school?
Piedmont International University.
Oh, that shows how much I know. Piedmont International University, and there he studied a number of things, but I would call him an audiologist. He loves to study sounds,
yes,
and specifically broadcast sounds, and he's particularly gifted in that because he's blind. And so you hear things that probably we don't hear, right, CJ?
Well, I don't know. People say that all the time, and the thing that I say back to him is I can't really compare that to anybody else because, you know, I don't.
Yeah, you know what it's been. So you were deaf at birth?
I went blind when I was...
I mean, not deaf, blind, I'm sorry.
When I was 4 months old, I do have this thing called selective hearing, as my family would tell me at times.
Me too. My family says I have that.
But I went blind when I was 4 months old, and basically was told that I was not going to be able to do anything in life by doctors, had to go through a lot of surgeries, and obviously God has had other plans with my life, and I began playing the piano when I was about 2 years old, playing the piano and singing, and took lessons for a few years, and mostly ended up through either hearing music or just playing. I've kind of taught myself, and then really started to get into broadcasting and just listening to different sports, listening to different games and different game broadcasts. Just really started to get into sports, into how they do it, and just really got excited about it and listening to radio
and
talk
listen
shows.
To that sound of his voice, you can see he has the pipes, as we say here in the in the audio world. So we're going to hear a lot from CJ coming up, and we also have with us Matthew Hutchins, who we call Hutch.
Yes.
Who is the student minister pastor at Calvary West Campus, where one of the reasons we have you on there is because we got big news, right?
Yes, we do.
June the 2nd, we're going to have a car show live, the Christian Car Guy Show, and Kingdom Pursuits. But the fun part will be all the classic cars that are going to be out there, right?
Absolutely. It's just a good time to get to come see a lot of classic cars and even some modern cars, too. Last year, I think we had a mix of both, and it's just a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, and the hot rods are just amazing. But one of the cooler things is to see how the church engages their community, and you know, snow cones and different ways that they're meeting the people in that area. It's all to highlight the West Campus of Calvary Baptist Church, which is an advance. A lot of people think you guys are a truck warehouse.
Yeah, but, we're not. We're a church.
That's what it was for a long time.
Yeah,
but it's right there on I-40 at 801, and. So we're going to hear a lot from Matthew, but you know, it's Mother's Day weekend. So speaking of mothers, a son said to his mom, "Can I get 20 bucks?" And she said, "Do I look like I'm made of money, son?" And he said, "Well, isn't that what mom stands for?"
That's good.
And you may wonder what the baby corn said to the mama corn. That's where's popcorn? Think about it. And why are computers so smart? Because they listen to their motherboard. Very important. And what do you call a mom who can't draw? I like this one particularly well. Tracy. And why did the cookie cry? Because his mother was away for so long. A wafer?
Oh.
Yeah, it's coming to you. It's coming to you. What did the mama tomato say to the baby tomato? Catch up. There you go. Why did the strawberry cry? Because his mom was in a jam. That's tough, man. What did the mama say to the foal? It's past your bedtime. We got a million of them. No, just a few hundred. I'm kidding. What did the mommy spider say to the baby spider? You spend too much time on the web. And what did the mother broom say to the baby broom? And you probably heard this one. It's time to go sweep. And these aren't. My mother said, "You won't amount to anything because you procrastinate." And I said, "Oh, yeah? Just you wait." A sign teacher said, "When is the boiling point reached?" In which I responded, "When my mother sees my report card." Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my mom liked to play this game, yell from four rooms away and get upset when I can't hear her. In fact, my mom says it's her house, but when it's time to clean it, it magically becomes my house too. I don't know what it is over that. My kids would go along with me on that one with their mother. And my mother gave me the greatest gift, actually, if anyone could possibly give me. She believed in me. And I'm going to bet if you think about this one, the only time your mom smiled when you were crying in your whole life, the only time your mom smiled when you were crying was when you were born. So you knew at the end of all those shenanigans, I would actually have a riddle. So here you go. And it's pretty easy. I expect you to call in at 866-348-7884. We're going to have to tell the prizes when we come back. But which mother in the Bible had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow? Which mother in the Bible had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow? 866-348-7884. We're going to hear more from Julie, CJ, and Hutch when we get back. So stay tuned. Lots more Kingdom Pursuits coming up, right, CJ?
That's right.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have with us Julie Knox with OM Ships, C.J. Wallace. He is an audioist, especially gifted in audio, as he's searching in and trying to find his way in the broadcast media. It's really cool that his story and how God has worked in his life. You're going to be excited to hear more from CJ. And Matthew Hutchins, who is a student minister at student ministry pastor at Calvary Baptist Church at the West Campus, out where we're having the car show on June the 2nd. We're going to be talking a lot about that. But right before the break, I gave the riddle, which is, which mother in the Bible had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow? And I said you could call in at 866-348-7884 if you wanted to win, but we never got to the fun part, which is Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
All right. All you have to do is call 866-348-7884 and tell us, which mother in the Bible had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow? And we actually have Joel, who's in Greensboro, has an answer for us. Joel, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm very excited to hear your answer to this very difficult riddle.
Well, I'm going to have to go with Mary.
There.
She had a little lamb who became the, you know, the Lamb of God, and the Bible describes his raiment as white as snow sometimes. So that's who I'm going with, Mary.
I would say you are absolutely right, and I'm so glad. Did you know that there was actually a method to the madness of that poem? Mary had a little lamb who sleep. You know, heard it growing up, but it was a Christian what would call allegory. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And, you know, Jesus can do that.
Very good. Well, I'm glad I guessed.
I'm glad you did, too. God bless you, Joel. I appreciate you calking
in. All right. Thank you. For the prize, I'll see that it goes to good use. I appreciate what you do.
God bless. Thank you. All right. Julie, were you wanting to wax eloquent on Mary Had a Little Lamb? Julie, are you with us?
Was I?
Do they have that? Well, now that I know that Mother's Day is not over there in England, I'm wondering, do you guys use the same poem? Have you heard it before?
Yeah, we know this one.
So, you are actually in port in England now?
No, I should clarify. So, I work with this amazing floating ship, but at the moment I'm on the shore. The ship is in Latin America. The ship is actually in Veracruz, Mexico. But I am back in England for now because I'm about to have hip replacement surgery. Mm-hmm. So I'm handling things from here for a little bit.
But there's big news in Veracruz, wasn't there?
Absolutely. We were just so honored to discover that the ship is actually just going into a dry dock phase of maintenance. Every year we have to keep only the essential personnel on board and have, our annual certificate again to declare the ship seaworthy and fit for passengers and so on. So this maintenance phase is about to begin, and as such then we were open to the public for a spell, and that has stopped. So our port visit to Veracruz is technically over, although the ship remains there for this period of work. And when we counted up how many visitors had come on board to our book fair, to our cafe, to our conferences and events, encouraging the church, youth events, our live theater show, all of these things that we offer in port, we tallied up that we'd actually had the highest visitor number of any OM ship in any port through almost 50 years of our ministry. That was 226,554 visitors, to be precise, walked up our gangways in Veracruz, Mexico.
That's just phenomenal. And over what period of time?
We were open for five and a half weeks, I think, at this point. But what's really encouraging, Robbie, is that our ship ministry has not visited Latin America in 15 almost 20 years for some of the countries that we're now going to be touring over 2018 and 2019. And in fact, our last previous visit to Veracruz was exactly 15 years ago. So in a sense, absence has made the heart grow fonder, it seems. And we have traditionally been well received in this place. Our various vessels, all four of them, have called there in previous years and have turned out in great numbers. So it's so encouraging for us to find that we're still very much relevant, still a draw, still there are people who want to come on board, meet Christians from all around the world, be encouraged at our events and see how they can fit into God's kingdom purpose in their own life as well.
Well, Julie, you are an old broadcaster yourself on a lot of levels, right? You used
Robbie,
to work for the...
Just you be careful with that word.
I'm not old. Right? I should say old. You're young. Actually, beautiful lady. Very, she looks very young. I would have no... But I mean, you've been doing broadcasting. I got to back up from that one. Get my foot out of my mouth.
I will tell you that another reason I'm in England this weekend is I'm actually out having afternoon tea, because it's afternoon with me, obviously. And down below us, I've just had a lovely afternoon tea with five school friends, some from Northern Ireland, some from England. And we're actually celebrating the fact that we're all turning 40. So now you
see, I see how young, that's way young. But you were with the BBC, and what I was going to ask if you might have a word of encouragement for CJ as he's embarking on a broadcast career. You certainly have had a wonderful one.
Certainly, yes. I've been blessed in that I worked for 5 years with the BBC in the south of England, and then I had 10 years actually as a TV and radio reporter. But CJ, what is it that you hope to do, or an area that you want to go into?
I would say the area that I would love to pursue would be something in sports announcing. Just hearing a lot of, growing up hearing a lot of radio broadcasters, actually being able to do some announcing myself, I just really developed a love for that area. Definitely something that I would love to go into, love to have a lot of fun with it. So yeah, that would definitely be my area.
I actually had a very odd spell, something that I fell into completely by accident, where I had to commentate on the Olympic Games, which were in Sydney in 2000. And I was actually given a whole lot of sports that I was certainly not very knowledgeable about. But I mean, even how that came about for me, and how other things often come about for so many others, is being kind of willing to serve in whatever capacity, or getting a foot in the door of something and ending up they need this or they need that, and proving your worth there, and in a sense working around into something else. So taking all the opportunities you can, and being tenacious to knock on doors, develop contacts, and show them what it is you can do, I would say, and, you know, keep trusting the Lord for where he's going to lead you through this mysterious, winding road. But he knows all about it. He knows where it's leading, and how he develops you on the journey is amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, the obvious challenge I just think about, you know, just to ask you is, you know, it's kind of cool how God can move mountains with the faith of a mustard seed. By the way, mustard seed's pretty faithful little character. He's going to grow this bush. But anyway, how would you announce when you can't see the game?
So, and I actually had some experience doing this when I would go to baseball games, and I would take like a recorder with me. Somebody would sit next to me, and I would have to be close to the plate. So if I was sitting on, say, the first base side, third base side, or even down near home plate, so I could hear the sounds, hear the sound of a pop of a glove, hear the crack of the bat, for instance. And then somebody would be telling me, okay, he's winding up to pitch. Now, obviously, they're doing this off mic, or they'll have to do it in sort of a whispered tone in order to not interfere with the announcing or what's going on. But I also would go by different crowd reactions. What I do is, you become familiar with the sounds of the stadium. What happens when someone hits a home run? Do they shoot off fireworks? Obviously, when the home team does it, because that would be weird when, you know, you're coming in as a visiting team and they're shooting off fireworks and celebrating your home run. So what do they do when they hit a home run? What do they do when they hit a foul ball? What sort of odd sounds do they make, whether you hear glass breaking or whatnot? What sort of crowd reaction sounds are made when, how does the crowd react when a ball is going up in the air, when you hear, when you have a just a shallow pop up or a fly ball that's going to the wall, this, that, and the other? So there's a lot that goes into it.
You did an air check, so to speak. That's what they call it with your recorder there to see what that sounded like. And obviously, you're real pleased with it.
There have been times when I think one instance I called somebody stealing a base when they had actually hit a home run because I did not hear the crack of the bat from where we were. And so I'm sitting there calling as it's a stolen base, and all of a sudden you start hearing the music for the guy hitting a home run. He's circling the bases. I'm like, and he just stole second base. Actually, he hit a home run. And so, you know, it's just stuff like that happens. And that's the thing. That's one thing that I've had to learn. One thing that my parents and my family and everybody around me that has taught me in my life is that things are going to happen. You are not a victim of what happened. You're not a victim of your blindness. Okay. My thing is, I don't look at it as God taking my sight. He gave me blindness.
All right. So, well, we're going to get more to Hutch, more to Julie. And if maybe you have another answer to the riddle that is, you know, often people come in with things that I never would have thought of. And you can call us if you want to talk to any of our guests today, 866-348-7884. We'd love to hear from you because we have so much more coming up, right, CJ?
That's exactly right. On the Truth Network. Stay tuned.
It's a natural.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we have such wonderful guests. We have Julie Knox, the very young Julie Knox, with OM Ships. I hope you caught that. CJ Wallace, who is an audiologist, I would say. I mean, he's studied sounds, and he's really gifted. And I know everybody's enjoying hearing his story. And Matthew Hutchins, who is a student ministry pastor at Calvary Baptist Church, their West Campus, out in Advance, which is at 801 and Interstate 40, which you can actually see it from there. And the nice thing is you can see the sign if you look hard.
It's true. You can see our sign.
You don't see the loading docks that are on the other side of the building that most people think that.
Most people could see the sign.
It's fair. It's fair.
You know, my friend who's blind, Vinny, always says, did you ever notice how much people say, see this, and or did you look at that, or have you seen, you know, and so he says, amazing how many people use that word, but then you were saying, I was looking at this another way, and, you know, it's just that word is throughout our language, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Definitely.
So, Hutch, you just graduated from the same college as CJ, and here you are at Calvary. Tell us a little bit about your ministry, what you've experienced out there at Calvary West.
Yeah, so I finished just recently from Piedmont International University with my Bachelor of Arts in theology, I guess you could say, biblical studies. Yeah, so I started at West Campus out in January. So for those listening, Calvary Baptist Church here in Winston-Salem, we are a multi-site church. We have three campuses, Central Campus, which is our main, South Side, which is completely Spanish-speaking, and then our West Campus, like you were saying, out in Davie County, which is a little rural kind of county that borders Forsyth, which is where Winston-Salem is. And so it's definitely a fun place to be. It's a smaller campus of about 300 people, roughly. We do a service at 11:15 English speaking, and then at 2 o'clock we actually do a Spanish speaking service as well. Since January I've been working with the students as their student pastor. This is the first time we've had a student pastor full time out there. Ryan Showalter, who's our campus pastor now, for the lot of years when Calvary first built that campus a few years back, was kind of like doing it all out there by himself. And so now it's kind of nice. We have a full team out there. Me doing the youth ministry. Ryan, campus pastor, Jennifer Dahmer is our children's director, and then Cam Ulmer is our worship pastor. And me and Cam actually came on as interns last summer together at Calvary. We lived together, went through the internship, and then now we both are working full time at West Campus. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been great just to invest in the students.
So as you think about, I know it's only been 6 months, but five, I can add a little bit. It's May. Okay. Maybe 4 months, depending on when you started.
Yeah, about five.
Has there been a moment where you went, okay, God, that's why you have me here? And can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So right now, our students out at West, like I said, are kind of a diverse group. We have a mixture of students who go to multiple schools. Some who go to, so Davie County only has one high school.
Davie High, believe me, and there's been a lot. Those of us who know Davie County, the fact that they were ever considering two high schools was a matter of high debate. But
absolutely.
There's only one.
They take pride in that. Like I said, it's a very relational community, like a lot of Southern former agricultural communities kind of are. It's very relational. So the students at our campus definitely value relationships as well. So for me, kind of growing up in a rural context myself, I can kind of speak into that with the students. But I think the big thing was we went to 25 is what we call our, it's kind of like a D-Now retreat for some people listening. And we went to Camp Weaver in Greensboro. And as we were coming back, just really getting to spend time with students and just, you know, a lot of the students were saying like, you know, they've grown up in church their whole lives, but they wanted to know more of like what it means to live the gospel daily. You know, it's like they hear the gospel and, but it's like, how do I just live in this aspect of community? And I think for me, what really just kind of grounded that back to your question was realizing that a lot of the students in our youth group, in particular at West Campus, being a little bit smaller, is they really want to grow in their relationships with each other, but learn how to grow as followers who can ultimately reach their friends. And they realize the best way to do that isn't just to go like beat on a door, right, and hand someone a gospel tract and tell them, hey, if you don't believe in Jesus, blah, blah, blah. Like they realize a lot of times it's just, as we say, be normal. We say hashtag cut the weird. Don't speak just Christianese. just be a real person. Build relationships with people. Get to know them where they are and just show that you care about them and you love them and have friendships. And then through that, you start to see opportunities to just speak the gospel into their lives. The Holy Spirit works through that. And that's kind of for me what is been foundational for me of that aha moment, you say, of why I'm there, because I love doing that. I love helping people just see how you can build those relationships. So one of my concentrations at Piedmont was North American church planning. And so we focused heavily on that, this idea of contextualization and learning to speak the gospel into different contexts. And so it's just cool me finally getting to apply that with students and helping students kind of realize and grasp hold of the Great Commission and seeing their school cafeterias and sports teams as that Great Commission opportunity.
Yeah, and this car show coming up.
Yes.
I understand the students are going to help with face painting.
Yeah.
And, you know, handing out the different door prizes and the stuff that's going to be going on out there.
Best thing about high schoolers is, you know, you get them to do free labor, as we call it sometimes, volunteer. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, classic cars are always fun to look at for sure. And like I said, the students will be out there doing face painting. We'll have door prizes, food as well, and all kinds of other stuff.
Free lunch on June 2nd.
Free lunch. And Kona Ice is coming. So if you love Italian ice kind of with flavors, I mean, and it's going to be hot because we're in North Carolina. It's June 2nd. It's probably going to be hot and humid. So
Julie, did you hear the hashtag cut the weird? Do you have that issue there on OM ships?
I love cut the weird, but no, you're so right. I mean, one of the amazing things is that our ship is this great platform. It's neutral. People come along because they're intrigued, or they want to go look at books, or they want to see a vessel and get a tour around it. But then it's a great way to reach people with the example of the faith that the people on board have. It's a great example in dockyards, even among the workers who will now help maintain our vessel, for people to come and say, why is it you serve on this vessel and you don't get any money? You're a volunteer. Mm. And what made you want to go leave your home, your family for a year or two and come and do this for the Lord, you know? And we're seeing people come to Christ. We're also in a wonderful position to be able to encourage people in established churches as well, motivate believers who've interacted with our kind of vibrant community of people who are serving Jesus elsewhere. And actually, our time in Latin America is very much steered towards making Latinos aware of the need for them to perhaps step up as missionaries, because their country is very reached by the gospel. Many of these countries in Latin America have a huge proportions of evangelical Christians already there. And now they're saying, well, what is our purpose? What else can we do for God? And we've got a lot of research from not just ours, but other Christian organizations, and a lot of shifting of focus of people wanting to work in areas of the world where very few people have still heard, and that that population of people who've got no access to a Bible, haven't encountered with a Christian, don't have a church. For that segment of people, unfortunately, that's rising every day. There's about 3 billion of those around the world, in the Middle East, in North Africa, in the Indian subcontinent, in Southeast Asia. And it's actually being found that people from Latino countries can possibly fit and integrate quite well in some of these parts of the world where they come from a community that honors family, that has a lot of time for people. It doesn't run to perhaps a stuffy English person's schedule or a German person's timetable or something, you know. And they may indeed come from a nationality or have a passport that allows better access perhaps to some of these nations than a stereotypical kind of white Western missionary may have found in previous years. So it's wonderful for us, you know, I've just stepped off the vessel in Colombia there, to see Latino Christians going, what? There's a unique thing that we could do over there for Jesus that others can't. And yeah, we can live in community. We have time. We respect our elders. And so just by being real, cutting the weird, going with the skill that they have, going to teach Spanish in a community somewhere, or, you know, getting integrated, and then little by little, slowly, interacting with people one-on-one, sharing what it is that is this hope within them, and letting them see what they have, and hopefully making that appealing through ordinary life to others.
Julia, one of the things that just seems challenging to me, but if you got 70 different nationalities on board, but I would think that the language barrier, you know, for me, when I go to another country where they don't speak English, I'm in deep trouble, you know. How do you deal with all that? Or do you speak a lot of languages?
No, I have French, I have German from school, but as we all know now, that was a long time ago for me. But no, the common language on the ship for safety purposes is English. So if announcements are made and, you know, there's some sort of emergency, of course, people need to have a working knowledge of English. And actually, we have many people coming from South Korea, from Japan, from all sorts of places where perhaps their English isn't good enough yet to join the vessel. So guess what? We redirect them down the road to Florence, South Carolina, where all of our literature warehousing is, and that's where the books that are sent to the ship are all packed up from and sent out from, where I ordinarily would have an office and be, and where others supporting our ministry are based. And people can go there to Florence, South Carolina, and they can learn Southern fried English. In advance of going to the vessel. But then, you know, what is lovely is that generally we hope people will have some level of English. Not everybody is at a common standard, but living together and operating together, there's often somebody who can help you out or can translate or can be a bit of a guide. But I will tell you something funny. We had a dear lady from Chile join the ship not too long ago, and I find her in the dining room one day asking a man from Albania for a cuddle. Now, where I come from, and where you come from, asking someone for a cuddle, and she was about 40 years older than he was, and he was looking a little bit scared that this lady wanted to know where she could get a cuddle, but it was for boil water.
All right, we're going to hear more from Julie, more from CJ, who we didn't get in that segment, but we will get to in the next one. I have a question for him along those lines. And we would love to have you continue to join us here on Kingdom Pursuits. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we're so blessed today to have with us Julie Knox with OM Ships, C.J. Wallace, who is sort of an audiologist. He goes to Piedmont International College, right? This is going to graduate next year, and we're going to find out a little bit more what God has in mind for him. And interestingly, his classmate Hutch Hutchins, who is a student with a student ministry pastor. He is the student ministry pastor at Calvary Baptist West Campus out in Davie County, as we've been talking about. Now, I do have a question for CJ, because as I was listening to this about communication, and I'm very interested because I think what happened at Babylon really caused a great deal of confusion, as Julie, I'm sure, would attest to. As we just heard about the lady who was wanting to cuddle, but what do we as people that can see, what are we missing in our communication with you, or do you find commonly happens that you go, I wish you would understand this? What would you wish I would understand, CJ?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. When you're listening to us talking, and we often, like my friend Vinny, who's blind, mm-hmm. you know, every time somebody says, see you later, Vinny, mm-hmm. he goes, really? And he says, is there any sentence you could use without the word look or see or whatever? But I'm just wondering if there's other things that fundamentally you could share with us mm-hmm. from your experience that you wish seeing people would understand about, you know, how to communicate with you, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's one thing that that's one thing that really kind of gets to me is when somebody goes out of their way to say, see you later, you know, see you later, for instance. Like somebody asked me one time, and they were being genuine in their questioning, but they said, have you heard this movie lately? And I mean, if you think about that question, you don't ever associate movies with have you heard this lately? Because everybody else sees it. Or going out of their way to say the word blind, like somebody recently said, we're so glad that this person who is challenged with impairment of sight. I'm just like, you can say it. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, I saw this movie. It was fantastic. I'll even go out of my way to tell people that I have ear sight. Okay. Just, you know, because if you say, have you heard this movie? That just sounds weird. Okay.
So hashtag cut the weird.
Hashtag cut the weird. Yeah. I'm going to start using that. That's good. But even one time I had somebody come up and ask me if I was ready for a party. So let me just backtrack a little bit. When I went to school for the first several years of elementary school, matter of fact, all throughout my elementary school life, I was at a school that had several blind students. It was a mainstream public school, but it had several blind students at the school. Okay, so after that, we kind of developed a community through some things that we would do and some areas that we were taught in math and how to better be able to use math and write and different things like that, field trips and things. Well, after that, from middle school to my first 2 years of high school, there were no other blind students around, okay? So I had not been around a lot of blind people for a while. But see, the thing is, I still know I'm blind. So one interaction I have with a blind student one morning, we're getting ready to go on a trip. And he gets all excited and he goes, are you ready for this party? Are you ready? And you're not going to believe this, but I nodded at him. I nodded my head at another blind student, totally expecting that he's hearing what I'm saying or he's picking up what I'm saying. And he goes, CJ? Uh-huh. You ready for this party? Nodding again. CJ?
CJ?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I am ready. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, I think...
Yeah, you got a picture of how your own situation's reflected back at you.
But right.
The question I would really love to know is how do you, since you're going to a Christian college, mm-hmm. and how do you see God using your gifts for broadcast?
There have been so many ways that I've seen him work, not necessarily in broadcasting per se at Piedmont, but in... being able to lead music in chapel, being able to also look at counseling But then as far as the broadcasting route, back 10 years ago in high school, because I've been going to college for about 7 or 8 years, and they would allow me to do the morning announcements at school. And so I was able to do that, I think my senior year of high school. They let me do the morning announcements. And so just any sort of avenue that I could use, like even opening up chapel services, I would always have to kind of simmer down and be like, okay, CJ, don't break out the radio voice. This is not radio. Okay. Like, don't break out the, so I've always just really been blown away by all of the areas that God has used me and allowed me to go into and, just be able to minister to people, and meet people that I never thought, that I would be able to meet is just far beyond what I thought.
Yeah, God takes you on adventures that are just absolutely amazing. And speaking of adventures, Julie, wow. You've been on an adventure. Did you ever think you would go to, Veracruz and all these different places I can't pronounce because my English is not, whatever?
No, I didn't. And, you know, that's the amazing thing. I never thought that God would use a journalist as a missionary. I'd have thought that missionaries were, you know, people who taught Sunday school and preached. And yet there are so many ways, however he has gifted you, skilled you, whatever he has given you a passion for, can be used for his kingdom and for his glory and in supporting his work all over the place. And I've been amazingly blessed in that the ship has taken me around West Africa, through parts of the Caribbean where I've been able to help out with earthquake relief, or hurricane relief, excuse me. And also our ship was in Haiti when people were coping after an earthquake. Mm. And now it's in Latin America. And, you know, I think it's very much about, are you open? Are you available? Are you willing to have him use you? And what a ride it can be. It can be difficult, of course. It can be really scary, that step of faith. But he doesn't leave us on that adventure. And he knows what he's doing with us and how we can fit into his bigger story.
Yeah, and you really stepped out, and all those people on OM ships are risking, you know, but God's a risky God. And so when CJ talks about his dream, I can't help but think there's a lot of risk involved, but that's exactly where God will come alongside you and guide you in the direction that he's going to use that stuff. And Hutch,
to
I know
encourage CJ.
Yeah.
I would say he's probably better placed than many to be able to relate an event on Absolutely. Radio for people who aren't there, because he knows how to bring that picture to life to someone's ears when a lot of announcers who are used to seeing it speak in a way perhaps that assumes that other people can visualize, you know. Yeah. But I think he would know well how to phrase that for listeners who are not present and who need their ears to be fed.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And Hutch, as you move forward at Calvary West, I know we got the car show coming up June the 2nd, not to plug that one more time, but moving forward, what do you see happening?
Yeah, we just are looking forward to the summer and just the growth, you know, as we start to love on Davie County and the greater area. And I want to just build off what Julie said. I think it's, you know, about journalism, and I think that's the main goal for people is what I want to do, and a lot of us is, you know, when you read, Paul talks about the work of the ministry for those of us who are full-time pastors, shepherds of the flock, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, you know? And I think she said it right. A lot of people think all the pastors are the ones who are the missionaries, all that. It's like, no, the pastors are the ones who equip you to go out and be the missionaries. So whether you're a journalist, Amen. A sports broadcaster, no matter what you do. And I think that's going forward. What you asked me is what I'm looking forward to is we equip not just the students, but when we do small groups and, you know, I work even with adults, some and everything is letting them see that, wherever God, through his providence, has placed them, he's put them in that position for a reason to reach the people in their context. Mm-hmm. And I think two books that really build on that. So I love to read, being a seminary student, right? That's what we're known for. but that kind of built off that, and kind of where I get this from that I recommend to students all the time. Maybe you've heard of the author Jeff Vanderselt from the Soma Network. And he has a book called Saturate and then Gospel Fluency. And of the two, gospel fluency is just really good. Talking about this idea of being fluent in the gospel, just like Julie's talking about, you know, teaching people to be fluent in a language, and you can't do that unless they practice, right? Learn a context. It's the same with the gospel. You know, if you don't practice the gospel fluency in your daily rhythms, speaking it. You know, James says, don't be hearers only, but doers too. And he kind of builds off that. And I think going forward, that's kind of what we're looking for, the teaching West Campus as a whole, to just live the gospel daily.
Well, Julie, what a joy to have you back again. Thank you so much for being with us today.
It's such an honor. Thank you. And God bless you all over there.
Oh, thank you. And CJ, how fun. We will have you back, I can tell. I can hardly wait to see what all adventure God is going to take CJ on. Thanks for being with us today.
Absolutely.
And thank you, Hutch.
Absolutely.
And
thank you.
Now stay tuned, because we've got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network, of course, as CJ would tell you. It is going to be the Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine, all on
the Truth Network. Stay tuned.